Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you here this weekend. Always happy to be along with you all for this wild ride that we call the Silk or Joe Show. I guess it's pretty tame now compared to what's going on in the rest of the world, right? So we're going to get through the introductions out of the way so I can tell you all about the rest of the world right now, things you might have missed during this week. The Silk or Joe Show is brought to you by the Main Street Radio Network, so we want to give them big thanks because they've been running the show for 10 years now out of their basements. No, I'm just kidding. But they have been big help in keeping us on the air. We appreciate that. You know, sometimes they disagree with us over the content of the program. Nonetheless, they keep us supported. We appreciate that. We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. Silk or Joe Show, again, in its 10th year, can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com, but also on social media at Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show, and also on Wimkin. If I remember to, or I'm able to, I'll post about, hey, listen to the show on that social media outlet as well, but it is mostly for the Main Street Radio Network and all of its programs, so it's not necessarily focused on this program. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Al Nathan Show, which sometimes I guest host. That occurrence happened earlier this week, in fact. So they are at alannathan.com, on Twitter at alannathan. Oh, and Main Street Radio Network, they are also on Twitter at Main Street Radio. All right, now with all those introductions out of the way, you might have heard earlier this, you know, I'm going to introduce this dialogue with a clip. If we could have clip 9 played, please.
If Hunter Biden has committed crimes, he should be charged with them. I'm a Democrat saying that. You don't hear any currently elected Republicans saying that if Donald Trump committed crimes, he should be charged with them and held accountable. Now, in the ordinary course, you would not give immunity for other conduct than what is charged. But this is not the ordinary course, because you have a petty, vindictive bully running as the for president on the Republican Party, who will use revenge and weaponize the Department of Justice to potentially charge Hunter Biden. So even though I'm sure Hunter Biden has confidence that David Weiss will not charge him with additional crimes, they have no confidence that if Donald Trump wins, that he would weaponize the Department of Justice to charge Hunter Biden, go back and charge him. And that's why this plea agreement has broken down.
Wow, that was an interesting spin of words that Congressman Dan Goldman, a Democrat, weaved last week. If you're listening to the show, it might be a little later on, it might be a little longer than that. But what basically he said was that I'm a Democrat and I want to see Hunter Biden charged. Republicans don't want to see Hunter Biden charged. And then Republicans don't want to see Trump charged. So look how we're not hypocrites, but Republicans are. And then he follows that by saying that the whole reason Hunter Biden was given immunity was to stop him from being charged for crimes that he committed. So, you know, CNN, of course, that is where this interview took place. CNN State of the Union with Jake Tapper. They didn't push back on that at all. They didn't quite pick up on that verbal sleight of hand, where on the one hand he claimed to be all for law and order and justice and equal under the law, then on the other hand was saying, yeah, it would be horrible. Trump is a bad man if he wants to prosecute Hunter Biden for crimes that Hunter Biden committed. Those crimes shouldn't be investigated at all, but first they should be. Kind of weird. Further, he said the whole point of the plea deal, gave it away, was to protect Hunter from Trump, because the current Department of Justice doesn't want to prosecute Hunter Biden for the crimes he's committed. Gee, I wonder if an indictment of Trump immediately followed this revelation that the DOJ didn't want to prosecute Hunter Biden for crimes that he committed. Well, I'm sure you all heard about Georgia's indictments against Trump, right, from Monday? Of course you did. You heard about them twice! First, they were released before the grand jury confirmed them, then they were released after the grand jury confirmed them. It seems the grand jury was happy to confirm all indictments, even against Trump's White House chef, against people for asking for phone numbers, against people for asking others to watch TV. You would think that someone would have waited to post those indictments, though, especially the wild ones, like where the chef and watching TV are considered crimes, because maybe a sane grand jury might not have gone for them. But no, it seems that the verdict was in before the vote was taken. Because, I tell you, asking for a phone number or watching TV, none of that is a crime under any circumstance. You know, grand juries, though, in general, are an interesting animal. you don't actually have to hear all the witnesses to indict someone, but you do have to hear all witnesses to not indict someone. Grand juries turn our system into guilty until proven innocent. And if they were told to meet in a building without air conditioning, for example, you might recall that they keep saying we have record heat every week. Well, it'd be pretty easy to just rubber stamp the indictments rather than spend days in the sweltering heat, right? As for the district attorney, Fannie Willis, you know, this wasn't fair. She apparently at some point was digging a gang member of the same gang that she was supposed to be investigating and locking up. And then there's the judge who's going to oversee the case, Scott McAfee. He actually worked under the district attorney, Fannie Willis, who is backed by Soros. You know, I got these headlines here in my notes, and I was trying to convert them on the fly into sentences that matched my grammar so far. So the biased judge, prosecutor, who was funded by George Soros, who slept with a gang member of the gang she was supposed to be investigating, and you have the judge who used to work under her. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is going to be a very biased case, and it kind of explains the sloppiness of it already, because Soros' operatives, they're not known particularly for competence. They're known for partisanship. That's why he backs them. And these indictments are partly to stop Trump from running in 2024. Notice that Biden isn't even campaigning yet, doesn't even plan to campaign. His team has said as much. They know that one of these indictments will gag order Trump and lock him up. And there's more to come, trust me on that one. These indictments are also aimed at you and me. They're arresting people for asking for phone numbers and telling others to watch news outlets not approved of by the government. If your local Soros-funded district attorney indicted you because you shared a link to this show, for example, do you have the money to challenge the U.S. government? Of course not. Neither do I. They know that we know that. This is to scare you. This is to stop you from resisting them. Lawfare. The GOP does not have your back on this, though. Unless you're wealthy like Trump or Vivek Ramaswamy, you're screwed when the Democrats send their district attorneys after you. Now, since these indictments center on January 6th, you'd think that the January 6th committees and evidence and testimony would exist, yes? Well, you'd be wrong on that. They destroyed it. Probably because the stuff left out of their TV show contradicted what made it to the air. Otherwise, the narcissists that wanted their own little fictional drama would have demanded the records be preserved in a museum of democracy or something. We already know that witnesses contradicted each other, and Democrats only would have destroyed those records for the January 6th committee to hide this, and perhaps to hide evidence they found that exonerates Donald Trump, exonerates his followers, exonerates the people who are locked up. Or maybe they had nothing at all, and they're hiding that. It was just a script written by some of the writers that are now on strike. Maybe what they destroyed were the outtakes where the Democrats flubbed their lines. After all, this was as literal of a show trial as you could get with its own ABC News producer, I should say. I don't think the guy was a producer with ABC News. With it being more show than trial, so flawed that it made Matlock look like a technically proficient legal drama. And all this is to say that you folks out there, they're destroying evidence out there that could have exonerated you, protected you, that you could have used in your court cases. They don't want you using their evidence, and they're destroying it to make sure you can't use it. So, and that is assuming that we are to believe that they actually had evidence, and again, that it wasn't just a show trial, and that the records they destroyed weren't just, you know, some carefully crafted Hollywood scripts. So on the one hand, they try to make it illegal for you to say, hey, watch this news outlet. On the other hand, they try and destroy any evidence that would exonerate you in a court of law. Do we really have justice in this country at this point that the Democrats are allowed to get away with all this? Their district attorneys issuing such wild indictments about asking for information that's legal to know, or telling people to watch the news. Somehow those have become crimes under Democrats. And on top of that, if you are going to trial for one of their crimes, if they are investigating it themselves, they'll destroy the evidence before allowing you to use it. And that's okay? That's acceptable? The January 6th committee was actually told to keep their evidence, by the way. They didn't. Nothing's going to happen to them. Nothing ever does when the government destroys evidence that could be used to protect people that the government is prosecuting. That's the happy thing about the government. Actually, Kamala Harris, vice president right now, when she was a district attorney out in California, she had a habit of hiding evidence and perhaps destroying some of her own. Nothing ever happened to her. She became vice president for it. Obviously, this is acceptable behavior. What kind of government does this, though? What kind of government masses all these secret files and all this evidence against its own population and then destroys it before the population can actually use it, but after the government has used it against the population, right? And what kind of government makes it illegal to ask for a phone number, makes it illegal to ask for or to ask people to watch certain news outlets? And what kind of government makes it illegal to challenge elections? Keep in mind, in 2020, Democrats challenged elections too. In 2018, Democrats challenged elections. In 2016, they challenged the 2016 presidential election. They've challenged every election just about that Republicans win, yet it's illegal when Trump does it, because that's the general thrust of the Georgia indictments, that it was illegal for Trump to challenge an election. Again, it's okay for Democrats to do it, but it's illegal for Republicans to even speak, apparently. That's not really democracy. That's not good for democracy. That's tyranny. And Democrats are on board with this. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
Come get back to school ready with me and the brands I've partnered with. ThredUp is a one-stop shop where you can clean out your closet and buy affordable, sustainable secondhand clothing. Go to ThredUp.com/cleanout, order their signature polka dot bag or print a shipping label, and send ThredUp your gently worn items. They'll do all the work to resell your items. Target has all the national brands that you are looking for, and with deals starting at just $1, Target has all the back-to-school and back-to-college essentials you'll need. From T-Mobile, pick up a free 5G smartphone like the exclusive Revel 6 Pro 5G or the award-winning Sync Up Kids Watch for free. Fairlife ultra-filtered milk is a great-tasting source of nutrition for families like mine. With 50% more protein and 50% less sugar than regular milk, Fairlife's 14-ounce bottles offer great-tasting, nutrition-rich products made to enjoy on the go. For more information on these brands, visit their websites.
Last year, we moved into a new apartment, and it was a new build, and so this was about July timeframe. A couple months later, our apartment came to us, our management, and said, hey, we're going to offer up the chance for the residents to short-term rent their apartments on Airbnb. So it's something that I've always actually dreamt about doing one day. I never owned, but you know, I've always kind of been a renter. And so this was a great opportunity for me to jump on that. The program is partnered with over 250 apartments across the nation to pretty much set up terms to allow their residents to Airbnb their place. So if you go to airbnb.com/airbnb-friendly, you can search by your city and find all the apartments that have partnered up with Airbnb and go from there. That website is airbnb.com/airbnb-friendly. Just go there, again, search by your city, and you can see what opportunities are out there.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So we are joined now, actually, by someone talking about what I ended the last segment talking about, Tim Rivers. He is secretary with the American Gulag Chronicles. He also runs a channel on the social media app Telegram called the American Gulag Chronicles, which has been chronicling the treatment of the January 6th prisoners. Tim Rivers, happy to talk with you today. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on today.
Happy to have you. So what I was alluding to a moment ago is the January 6th committee destroying records, transcripts, and evidence that could have possibly helped some of the defendants out there.
Well, I think it goes a little further than that, Joe. I'm going to be real frank with you. What they've done is basically a violation of the very thing that they're throwing people in prison for, which is 1512C. That code says, was originally about Enron. Some of you may remember Enron and the bad things that happened there, and the folks who were shredding tons of documents as fast as they could before the DOJ got there. And that's where 1512C comes from, was to stop people from destroying evidence that was critical, either in an investigation or that had been subpoenaed. And I think, you know, they misused that against January 6th defendants, saying that they had disrupted the election voting during that period, even though we all know that, you know, Congress had already headed for the hills before anybody got into the building. And so now you have them doing the same thing they're charging other people for. They had deliberately destroyed documents and records that could either be exculpatory or that are part of this multi-million dollar hearing that you and I and everybody who's listening to this paid for. And they deliberately shredded and destroyed those. And one has to wonder why, right? I mean, what other hearing of this nature, the greatest threat to democracy since Pearl Harbor and 9/11, what else could they have ever done that required, you know, the most careful keeping of records and documentations for history? No, we fire the shredder up on high and start feeding. I think that is the question we should ask. Why haven't the January 6th committee members been sought out and charged with 1512C violations for what they've done? Forget about the theatrical show and the crying on stage, oh my gosh, or all our heartstrings were broken. Let's forget about all of that and the people who perjured themselves in that. Let's just focus on the deliberate destruction of evidence for that little theatrical show that they've used to put, right now my count is, get ready folks, 1,106. And you know who the 1,106th defendant is? Donald J. Trump. So, I think destroying evidence is worthy of prosecution. I think destroying critical evidence that not only exonerates some people, but basically, deifies the bad things that other people have done and just ignores them in this two-tier justice system. I don't even know if we can call it that anymore, Joe. How about we just call it the whatever the heck I want to do justice system? There's a difference between having laws and having a rule of law. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And it seems these people just want to rule rather than have any kind of law whatsoever.
I want to urge everybody, listen, don't take my word for it. Go and listen to the words of these people who are rotting in prison right now. Go to lettersfromprison.us. Take a look at this book called The American Gulag Chronicles, Letters from Prison. They are a collection of letters from 35 defendants of an entire year's time. They tell you what happened on that day. They tell you what's happening to them now. And they tell you about the injustices that the DOJ is visiting upon them. And then wonder, are you next? What have you and I thought or said or done that might run afoul of this current tyrannical narrative? And are we next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not just breaching the Capitol that these people are arrested for. It's just standing outside the Capitol, even where in spots. You know, I've seen where some of these people were standing. I was walking around those spots at a Stop the Steal protest in November of 2020. I guess the feds are going to come arrest me now after arbitrarily declaring that suddenly those places are illegal to be in.
Yeah, I think again, I urge everybody to look at the narrative. There are some credible documentaries that have already been done, Writing History, Bloody Hill, out on Stop Hate. A new one is coming out that is just going to blow the doors off of this crazy narrative. It's called J6, the Real Timeline, and it takes you through from Trump beginning to the end of the disaster that day, shows you videos, ties it all together. I think the videos are the key, Joe. You know, we've been lied to. I'm going to call it a history of lies for the past 3 years almost. Everything from the crazy Russia hoax to January 6th, and now, of course, it's get Trump at any cost. This is a history of lies. It has to be corrected. We cannot let American history record this as the truth because it's the farthest thing from it. And so I'm concerned. I'm a retiree, but I have children. I'm sure everybody listening to this has family that they're concerned about. Will you leave this mess for them, ladies and gentlemen, or will you get off your butt and do something? That's my question.
Yeah, people might feel powerless out there to do anything. I mean, how can each of us in our daily lives, without losing everything, challenge the federal government? A lot of people who just say the wrong thing these days, it seems that they have the government come down on them.
I agree, but remember, I mean, many of us remember Benjamin Franklin's quote about, you know, those who surrender liberty for safety deserve neither. But I'll give you his other quote that he stated as he walked away from what was soon to be the Revolutionary War and the beginning of conflict. His statement to somebody who asked him what should they do, how could they stand alone, what were their choices, just like you said, for each American, he gave three words, Joe, so succinct, three words, join or die.
And for, it really is disturbing that we are at this point, and I guess that's why there's a lot of disbelief about this among the public, about these abuses of power going on. Yeah, sure, we see in the polls that people think that this is going on against Trump, perhaps, with the, especially with the support for Trump rising as each indictment passes, the public sees what's going on there. But then when you turn to January 6th, it seems like the government has done a great job gaslighting people into thinking, well, this is not the average person. These people were somehow exceptions to the rule.
And you could trace that all the way back, really, you know, to the horror show that we saw in Oregon when, as the Bundy parable played out, that was the preparation for January 6th. The things that you see them doing, the DOJ executing so rapidly and actually so fluidly in January 6th cases, they honed that knife on the Bundys. And people like Peter Santelli, who spent 680-something days in jail as a political prisoner, simply for talking about it. And now we just saw a 75-year-old up in the northern part of our country executed in his home for basically threatening on a blog, you know, certain things against our current sitting administrator. So I hesitate to say that we are reaching this Rubicon where force against it's not enough to intimidate. It's not enough to censor. It's not enough to harass and violently arrest you in your home and put your family through all kinds of trauma. It's not enough to destroy your life. It's not enough to bankrupt you. It's not enough to throw you in prison. Now we're going to kill you.
It's a much more simple exercise of their power, and they have threatened it. Just Joe Biden talking about how if you want to challenge the government, you need F-15s, for example. Or what was it, Eric Swalwell, Democrat congressman who was sleeping with the Chinese spy, who said that the gun owners have their guns, but the government has nuclear weapons. It seems that they are very much in favor of using deadly force.
I don't know anybody who's never read the Federalist Paper. Do me a favor and yourself a favor. Go get a copy of the Federalist Papers and read it. Because you know what, guys? We were warned about all of this. It's all on us. It really is. It's on us, the American public, because we were warned that this would happen.
Tim Rivers, I'll have to cut you off there because we're out of time for this segment. Folks, he's with the American Gulag Chronicles. Go check them out.
This Men's Health Month, we encourage men to take care of their largest organ, their skin. Plaque psoriasis is a common skin disease that may appear as raised and scaling red plaques anywhere on the body, like the knees and elbows and even private and sensitive areas like the groin, genitals, between the buttocks and armpits. Symptoms can include pain, cracking skin, and itching. While it occurs equally among men and women, several studies have shown that men tend to have more severe plaque psoriasis. Chad Cragen was diagnosed nearly 20 years ago with plaque psoriasis, affecting multiple areas of his body, including his elbows, knees, and between his buttocks. Chad is sharing his story to encourage other men to talk to their healthcare provider about their symptoms and learn about a steroid-free treatment option that may be able to help.
When I was first diagnosed, I walked out of my dermatologist's office with 5 different tubes and bottles of topical medicine to use on different parts of my body. Managing so many treatments, all with different instructions for different body parts, made my treatment routine confusing and time-consuming. Recently, I started using a steroid-free cream, Zoryve, roflumilast cream, that has simplified the management of my psoriasis, as I can use it anywhere on my body. I apply it once daily for my flare-ups, and it's really helped manage my symptoms by clearing my skin and reduce my pain and itch too. I also like the cream because it's not greasy or messy. It spreads easily, and I just need to apply a small amount to the area of my body where there are plaques. I think a lot of men with plaque psoriasis, especially if they have it in more private areas, may not bring it up with their healthcare provider. I encourage them to go talk to their provider and learn about the latest treatment options. And don't be afraid to have your healthcare provider examine your full body, because psoriasis may look and feel different depending on location. With the appropriate treatment regimen, things can change.
Zoryve is a prescription medicine used on the skin, topical, including in areas with skin folds to treat plaque psoriasis in people 12 years of age and older. It is not known if Zoryve is safe and effective in children under 12 years of age. Before taking Zoryve, tell your healthcare provider if you have liver problems and about the medicines you take. Do not use Zoryve in or on your eyes, mouth, or vagina. Tell your healthcare provider if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to be. It is not known if Zoryve will harm your unborn baby. The most common side effects of Zoryve are diarrhea, headache, trouble sleeping, nausea, application site pain, upper respiratory tract infections, and urinary tract infections. These are not all of the possible side effects of Zoryve. Talk to your healthcare provider to find out if Zoryve is right for you. For more information about plaque psoriasis and Zoryve, a steroid-free topical that works across affected body areas, talk to your healthcare provider or visit www.zoryve.com. That's Zoryve.com. Sponsored by Arcutis Biotherapeutics.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Look, I think that this is obviously helping him. The American people don't like to see this. This is what you see in a lot of other countries. You know, the Willis indictment has legs in the sense that it tends to be more iron-plated because these are conventional state charges. That doesn't mean that it's right. When you look at this indictment, it's charging everything, every call, every tweet, every speech. You know, the president's allowed to challenge elections. He's also allowed to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And there's no clear principle or dividing line of when challenges will now be criminal and when they will be allowable.
And one more question. Why 18 co-defendants? What did they do wrong?
I think that once again, this is a very typical approach in a racketeering case. You charge everyone, and then you pressure a lot of the co-defendants to flip. And that's what I think they hope will happen here.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. What you just heard was a clip from Fox News' Fox and Friends on August the 15th, where George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley was explaining to the hosts about the indictments against Trump. Firstly, how the ones in Georgia, it seems that they're making it rather difficult in the future to figure out if it's a crime to challenge an election or not. Well, John, I can help you out with that one. It's legal if you're a Democrat challenging a loss to a Republican. It's imprisonable if you're a Republican challenging a loss to a Democrat. That's how it rolls these days. Now, as for his second point, that the reason that there were 19 people on the indictments in Georgia altogether, 18 people in addition to Trump, is the DOJ is hoping that one of those people will flip and try to rat out Trump or lie about him or whatever in exchange for a goody deal. You know, and they might be onto something there. After all, if someone came after you and said, hey, your former boss did this, that, and the other thing, we're going to indict you for it unless you turn on them. Doesn't really matter if you actually know what happened or not, but we're going to indict you for it anyway, and you're going to have to spend all this money you don't have defending yourself in court, and we're the government. Look what we did to General Flynn. You might remember what happened with him back in 2017, 2018. They went after him so bad he had to file for bankruptcy. So they did that to him. He's a retired general. It's not like he's a man of limited means. They'll do that to you as well. They've been trying to do that with Trump this whole time. If lucky, he's a billionaire and actually able to take the financial punishment that it takes to deal with the government for however many years they've been going after him. You, on the other hand, not so much. And I'm pretty sure some of the people lower on that indictment chain, such as the former White House chef, they might not be making enough money that they can go do anything except take the plea deal and try to flip against Trump, because what else are they going to do to save themselves, right? And that's really horrible that that's the kind of government that we have, where they are so hell-bent on a political prosecution that they are willing to destroy every life they can just to get this one person. And they know that there's nothing that the guy actually did. That's why they need these people to flip on him. Meanwhile, you have Joe Biden cutting million-dollar deals with foreign countries in exchange for giving them favorable policies, and nothing happens. DOJ doesn't want to destroy anyone's life. In fact, they tried to give Hunter Biden immunity to keep his life from being destroyed. And that's immunity from crimes such as, you know, the gun possessions and stuff that he is guilty of, while also simultaneously using illegal narcotics. You know, any one of which would get one of us locked in prison for at least 5 years, but not him. And the Department of Justice has no problem with that, because if you're a wealthy Democrat, it's your system of government. It works for you. You know, for all the talk that Democrats have out there about elitists, GOP being the party of the elite, yeah, which party is the one being indicted by the government for existing? Which party has the son of their president out roaming free for committing crimes that everyone else who committed them is locked away, including many in the D.C. area, mind you? So, it's hard to say, as Tim Rivers said, that we have a two-tier justice system. It's more like we have royalty dictating how to punish their opponents and protect themselves. And unfortunately, that is how the swamp creatures in the D.C. area see themselves: royalty ruling over you. I think I mentioned it, on last week's show or on the Al Nathan show when I guest hosted, that they have this kind of distorted plutocracy that they think we live in, where this learned elite has absolute power and authority over you, except they're actually pretty idiotic, these people in charge of you. That's a big problem. Certainly they are very unfair in their rulings and hypocritical in their dealings. They just see themselves as perfect, and they see you as the problem, especially if you challenge their perfection. You're dealing with a bunch of psychotic narcissists who happen to have power over you, and it's been accumulated over the years, you know, as the various branches of government surrendered their power to the bureaucracies. And here we are. We now have a rogue DOJ going around prosecuting people who just for not being Democrats. So that's literally what some of the indictments in Georgia were over. If Trump had told his followers to watch MSNBC instead of One America News, there wouldn't have been an indictment for that. But because he said watch the wrong, disapproved of conservative news outlet, not even Fox News, mind you, One America News, then, well, that's the problem, that's illegal now, because we're Democrats and we control things. And who's going to stop them? I guarantee you, no, this is, nothing's going to stop it. As Jonathan Turley said, these 19 people, or 18 others other than Trump who were indicted, that was to get them to roll over. They can't stop any of this. They don't have the resources. They don't have the money. They're not billionaires. They're going to have to fold. Otherwise, they're going to be conducting their trial from their prison cell with a public defender who probably was also bought and paid for by George Soros anyway. So they have no hope except to roll over. Otherwise, their lives are over. So that is what the DOJ does. It's a gang of thugs at this point, brutalizing anyone who stands in their way. We can't really say we have legitimate justice system in this country anymore, not with all this crap going on. And especially when you contrast it to how Democrats are treated. Absolute kid gloves. It's as if they are incapable of committing crimes. And I played you the clip at the beginning of the show, you know, where you had the Democrat congressman saying, oh, well, if Hunter Biden committed crimes, I, as a Democrat, say that he should be held accountable. But I also, as a Democrat, say he should be given immunity so he can't be prosecuted for any crimes. It's like these people actually somehow managed to have these two conflicting philosophies in their head. And again, that goes to the narcissism, the fact that they're the heroes in their own story. They just can't do anything wrong in their own minds, and that leads to them blurting out absolutely insane stuff like this, where you'd think that there's multiple personalities going on in that person's head or something. It's just because they are so far above reality that they are unaware, in some cases, that how high they have come on their own insanity. So it's disturbing that these people are in charge right now. And, you know, Wayne Allen wrote over at the Gateway Pundit about how we can now conclude that the election was stolen, by the way. It is an interesting conclusion he drove at, you know, and the Democrats are scared. It's the indictments in Georgia that gave it away. The general thrust in the indictments is that it's illegal to question that the election is stolen. Now, remember, I mentioned it earlier, the Democrats themselves have questioned if elections were stolen. In particular, in 2020, Mark Elias, Democrat lawyer, who famously was recruited to challenge, to defend some of these election challenges that Republicans were making. He was kind of sent to counter them. Well, he also sued New York because he thought some elections were flawed there as well, something about the voting machines or other. So it's legal for Democrats to question elections. It's illegal to question for Republicans to question if 2020 was stolen. Now, in general, you know, Al Gore, Hillary Clinton, Stacey Abrams should all be locked away if it's now illegal to challenge elections. Mark Elias, too. But they won't be because, again, it's only illegal to question when Democrats win. If they lose, you're allowed to riot. If they win, shut up or you go to prison. So these indictments are meant to stop any claims of fraud in the future, as if they needed to. So far, most claims of fraud are thrown out by judges who refuse to look at the evidence. They came up with some, you know, oh, you don't have jurisdiction here. In some cases, it's an absolute catch-22, by the way, where this paradoxical idea on standing, where if you brought the charges before the election, you're dismissed because no damage has been done. But if you bring charges after the election, it's dismissed because you should have complained earlier. Our judiciary system is dedicated to protecting this fantasy of free and fair elections. They're nothing of the kind, just as our judicial system is not at all any kind of justice. You know, Democrats have all kinds of fraud you wouldn't believe going on, and now they're trying to make it illegal to question results. Unless you're a Democrat, that is. Further, these indictments say that asking for phone numbers or telling people to watch conservative news outlets is legal. You know, Democrats love this. You know, I've been listening to their talking heads, reporters, journalists, politicians, civil rights leaders, podcasters. I've been reading their commentary and articles, op-eds, comments, social media posts. They are unified in this belief you have no right to question them. If it benefits them, forget it. You need to go to prison if you dare challenge it. That is the party's consensus. They are nutcases, radicals. And Republicans are not geared to fight this kind of tyranny. The GOP establishment is in on it, if anything. And that makes me question any candidate other than Trump, really, especially Ron DeSantis, because the same slimy establishment types that are happy to let Democrats get away with this are the same ones backing DeSantis. And so that you gotta wonder, when he promises to hold the deep state accountable, there are corrupt elites putting money down that he won't hold the deep state accountable, that he's full of hot air. It's entirely possible they've been helping him cultivate this reputation for the past couple of years, by the way, in preparation to run him against Trump, so that these elites in bed with Democrats can reclaim the GOP. If Republicans are truly appalled and serious, they could easily fight back. attorney generals, district attorneys all over the country could be indicting Democrats for these same crimes. But it's not happening. It's not going to happen. GOP has no interest in fighting back. It's up to you, and it doesn't look good. Folks, more Silker Joe Show after this break.
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
Together with One Knoxville SC, PetSafe is thrilled to collaborate and create fields of joy for players, pets, and families in the selection of the pro soccer team's inaugural official mascot. To make this experience truly extraordinary, PetSafe has partnered with Young Williams, one of the largest animal shelters in the country, to create their Unleash the Mascot program. This program will profile rescue dogs and allow fans to vote for their favorites. As we search for forever homes for all six dogs, one lucky pup will be chosen by fans to become the team's official mascot and will be placed in a loving forever home with a One Knox team member. Starting on July 18th, fans can actively participate in the mascot voting process by visiting at PetSafe Instagram channel to cast their vote before July 21st at noon Eastern Standard Time. With this program, PetSafe is also challenging other teams across the United States to transform their fields into spaces of joy by hosting pet adoptions and events that unleash joy for pets and their families. Sponsored by PetSafe.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask, the number 4, echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. but get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Thank you for staying with us through this hour of the Silker Joe Show. Yeah, I know, been light on guests this week. Well, we were heavy on them last week, you know, so it balances out between the two shows, right? And it's not like I didn't reach out to people. It's just, it's a busy Saturday, you know? What are you going to do about it, right? So I'm going to talk about some ecological issues we've been having lately that have been used as support for global warming, climate change, take your rights away, and all that. As if they needed more excuses to take your rights away, as you've been hearing through the rest of the show. So, Canadian wildfires, you might recall those, they're still ongoing, in fact. You know, at the onset of them, there's satellite imagery that shows 17 different areas starting to burn simultaneously, right? That's kind of peculiar that that would happen, and yet it did, way back in June, and we've been dealing with them all summer, haven't we? And, of course, these are fueled, now Democrats, well, Democrats, it's Canada, but it happens in Democrat states, too, that's why I said that. Liberals, in general, they have this. They understand how science works. They understand how forestry works. You got to clear the dirty, the dry underbrush out of the forest. Otherwise, it's going to go up in flames. You're just leaving a bunch of dry kindling around that's very combustible. And yet, when a wildfire starts, because you left all this combustible material laying around and it spreads so rapidly because all this combustible material you left laying around, you act surprised. You know, it's like going to a gas station and striking a match at the pump and being surprised when the whole thing explodes. Okay? You should have known what you were going into at this point if you're as smart as liberals claim that they are. So this is entirely a man-made disaster, these wildfires. Now, yes, they would exist without human, or they would exist even if the forestry departments had been doing their job to clean up, but they wouldn't have been as bad. So, and now 17 areas at the same time starting? Come on, that definitely looks like a staged act right there. And now you have this fire in Maui. Very suspicious about that, too. The police chief over there, the one who would have been in charge of investigating the fire and how its origins, he happens to be the same police chief who was in charge in Las Vegas when they had that mass shooting that we don't have the answers for. No one bothered to investigate it. In fact, investigation by the federal government stopped. Investigation by the locals was either botched or never happened. Hard to say, really. It just looked like incompetence the way they did it. So, you have a wildfire which Biden himself multiple times refused to comment on before finally agreeing to fly out there. Well, and he was, you know, relaxing on the beach, walking away from reporters while they were asking about it. And you have this guy, the police chief, who was in charge during two of the most devastating disasters imaginable, with no actual answers on the cause of either, in separate states. You know, these are like once-in-a-career events, right? But here you have the same guy twice within 5 years. What is this, Die Hard? How can the same thing happen to the same guy twice? So it's either arson or just Democrat incompetence leading to dry underbrush not being cleared out, which leads to wildfires. If it's the latter, that is the chief of police you want covering it up, so you can blame global warming instead of your own incompetence. This is the reason we see wildfires increasing, mind you, aside from arson. We're not taking as good care of forests as we used to. Then, like a week later, a mulch fire in Florida, massive fire in Oregon. Now, here's an interesting twist, though, on the fires in Maui. It seems that the fire alarm system that they have failed. And the fire hydrants were failing as they were trying to fight the wildfires. They were actually succeeding, fighting them back a little bit. And then the hydrants stopped working. And you also, now maybe that on its own could be explainable, but the fire alarm system failing as well? And then this police chief who would be in charge of investigating if those were accidents or not is the same guy who we had in Vegas that didn't do any kind of investigating, who also appears to have, according to some pictures out there, connections with certain high-ranking FBI officials? Yeah. Christopher Wray, for example. It's very suspicious. This very, very suspicious. Lots of coincidences going on. Now, unless you're a Democrat judge and Democrat prosecutor and Democrat jury, circumstantial evidence shouldn't be enough for a conviction. But it is interesting that the government is coming in after these wildfires in Maui, offering to buy up land that was burnt by them. Now, that's very curious. They acted very fast on that, too. It's like less than a week. They were ready to go. Now, for those unaware, the government would not be offering to buy the land so quickly unless they had a plan for it already. And they would not have a plan for it so quickly after the fire unless they planned a fire. Get it? This is a very... This government of ours takes a while to do anything. It takes forever. Except apparently send money to Ukraine. You know, right as this fire is going on in Maui, Joe Biden, his regime, sends another $200 million in aid to Ukraine, makes no comment on Maui. In fact, we're not really sending much aid at all to Maui. We're sending more to Ukraine than we are to Maui. So, that shows where their priorities are anyway. However, they also want to... In fact, it seems like they are actually going to spend more money trying to buy up the land that was burnt by the wildfire than they are sending aid to help the people victimized by this wildfire. And you add that to the failure of the hydrants that were succeeding in fighting the fire, the failure of the fire alarm system out there, which could have gotten people to rally earlier and stop the fire earlier. And combine that with the guy who'd be in charge of investigating all these things apparently being a federal stooge. What does that show you? It's very suspicious, isn't it? And certainly a very big coincidence that all of this would be going on, right? And especially the government having this plan so ready to go to buy up all this land. It takes a lot you need some kind of approval, right? To expend that kind of cash. How do you get that kind of approval in less than a week? It's very weird. And I'm pretty sure that Congress, don't they have to be the ones in charge of allocating money, like approving money to spend on buying up land devastated by a wildfire? Or did it just so happen that the various government, whatever government department is trying to buy up the land, that they have pre-existing authorization to buy up wildfire damaged land? And, you know, they just have some dedicated bureaucrat sitting there waiting for a wildfire to come along before going to buy it up? Very, very suspicious activity here. And Maui is the place where a lot of wealthy elites have their own places to live. So perhaps this was just a purging of the undesirables, and the government's going to buy out the land, turn it into a nature preserve or something, so that the wealthy elites who didn't lose their homes, they have less people milling about on their little private island. All right, maybe it's not that, but there probably is some nefarious thing. The government does not act in the interest of the public. I think we just spent the last... 3/4 of an hour before the segment outlining that. Anyway, folks, appreciate you tuning into the Silk or Joe Show. And regardless of the cause, our thoughts and prayers do go out to the folks in Maui. And if you can donate something to help, give it to them, because our government is busy sending money to Ukraine and using the money that it has to buy up the land that was devastated instead of helping the people. Go figure. All right, our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. And don't forget our social media pages, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show, on Facebook under Main Street Radio Network, on Wimkin under Main Street Radio Network, on Twitter under Main Street Radio. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.